Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You are listening to this podcast in one of two ways. Either you are at my direct blog, which is lorddgaul.podbean.com. Try to upload something to that once a week, which is why I'm here today. We're going to go Sunday, Friday, and the next. So we'll do one, and then another one six days later. And then, of course, the most efficient way to get the show is in the iTunes search engine. Just enter Warman Kickfighting Show and the show pops right up. So I'm going to go ahead and get into it. Very results-based show today. I'm going to talk about several cards all over the world. It's been a lot of fun kickboxing the past couple weekends, and there's been a lot of action. Definitely good stuff. Sitichai with an awesome KO the other day. Just going to really have fun and go through this. Let's go ahead and get it started with Glory, which took place a week ago. Artem Vakhadov defends his title against Ariel Machado, 50-44 on all cards, and except one, which was 49-45. Not sure how that happened. It's almost like they forgot there was a down. But nevertheless, 49-45 was the dissenting score, but the other scores were equal and accurate. I thought from jump, the superior kickboxer in every round was Artem Vakhadov. I thought he had the cleaner scores. I thought that he did a exceptional job, and I mean exceptional job, of coming out with a game plan that just kept evolving and changing. So he comes out in an orthodox stance, real heavy on the low kicks, combo to low kick, jab, low kick, played it really simple. Then he switches stance, and in the stance switch, he goes to work with the body, lands a left straight. He couldn't miss a straight left hand. Did a lot of great stuff. He scores a down, and I want to say that was the second. It was either the second or the third. He put a combination series together. Scores a down with a head kick. Machado fell into the ropes, and that, you know, probably saved him, because if they had fallen all the way on the ground, who knows if that had been called an immediate stoppage, because the way the combo flow came up, he really didn't see the left leg coming. So awesome stuff. Machado was game, and he tried hard. He just couldn't land consistent offense to win any of the rounds, and Artem Vakhadov also seemed to have a power edge. Good stuff. I thought Machado was game. You know, he'll keep at it. He's still one of the better fighters in the world. Still top five fighter in the world. Just wasn't able to beat the champ. Artem Vakhadov moves forward. Clearly, fun fights for him. If Dude wins in, you know, the Rotterdam event, as they do the Daniel Younger fight again, if Dude wins that fight, I wouldn't rule out Dude fighting for the title, because then that means he won a four-man tournament, and then he turns around and he wins that, so it'd be a three-fight win streak. I would see him as the next contender. As far as Vakhadov, whoever it is, bring it, because he's the champ. He's the guy holding the title. He's the best in the world, super skilled. One of the examples that I use when I'm teaching my students all the time, as far as the switch stances and the Russian flow, like the new Russian style that's starting to become really popular, birthed from place barring. But now he's got Artem Vakhadov. Played it with points and was able to score clean and move around. There's a little bit more power to Artem Levin. Played it with points, switched stance, played, had a lot of sneaky scores, was able to outpoint you, was able to make you miss. Artem Vakhadov does something similar, but a little bit more pop, you know, as he grew into a bigger size. Once upon a time, Artem Vakhadov fought, you know, had some really good matchups with Simon Marcus, and, you know, at that middleweight division, but he grew out of it. And now here he is, best fighter in the world at light heavyweight. Just an awesome fighter, and I can't wait to see more of him. We'll go ahead and go into the four-man tournament. The upset of the year, KO of the year, unchallenged, happened this past weekend. Now, there are going to be cooler KOs, but there's nothing that was more significant than this one. Anvar Boynazarov gets a big-time KO victory over Fabio Pinca. Fabio Pinca was putting on one of the more beautiful kickboxing performances you're ever going to see. Anything he threw landed. Combination low kick all landed. Counterboxing landed. Body work. Everything he threw for 2.5 rounds landed. Anytime they got into an exchange, he landed more in the exchange. He put it together beautifully. Everything was clicking for him. And then all of a sudden, in an exchange, he's coming forward. He's banging a little bit more than I would have thought for a guy who was, you know, up in the way that he was up. But man, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a combination comes through. I believe it was the left hand, that caught, Fabio Pinca, and he went out, and he went out cold. No need for a count. Fabio Pinca had never been stopped before, and I will, you know, I say it all the time. Anytime you guys hear me talk about Fabio Pinca, he's the best, you know, Muay Thai fighter. He's the best fighter. I don't care. You can include the boxers. He's the best fighter ever from France, ever. So it just absolutely, absolutely blew me away when that stoppage happened, in particular because of the flow of it. I was watching the fights with some of my fighters, and one of them said, it's almost like the wrong guy won, because it was so, so dominant. But for me, and I can't stress this enough, it just happened to be a reason why you love the sport. And, of course, we know who Anvar is. He plays the same kind of game. He's just going to absorb, get himself closer, let his power shots go in, and then maybe get, you know, hopefully get a stoppage or get it down to get himself up in the cards. He's never been a points type of person. He can win rounds with points, but that's never been his style. Here, they get into big-time exchanges, and, you know, finally he gets his moment. Fabio Pinca loses, and Anvar Benazarov moves on. Meeting him is Abrella Esbiri against Aziz Halali. Wasn't the best fight. All three cards went to Esbiri. I just thought that it was just kind of the flow to it was off. Some of the action was kind of, you know, nasty, and it just didn't come off the right way for me personally watching it. Like just sometimes styles don't match the same way, and I thought that there was a lot of breaks, and I thought that there was a lot of wild shots, and I thought that people were out of position looking for offense. It just didn't click on this particular time. Maybe it could be a different fight a different day, but in this particular day, I was not a big fan of how the action took place. But nevertheless, it should be stated that Esbiri really showed a lot of good combination kickboxing flow before he got in, and he showed it in this fight. He then goes on to show it supremely, and the final as Anvar Benazarov was looking for his big shot, as usual, looking to walk him down, but Esbiri just too skilled, too much movement, too much combo flow, really, really good fighter, really good fighter. He wins this tournament, and I'm excited to see what they do with him moving forward. Cedric Doumbé gets a victory over Johan Ladon, 30-27 in all cards. Johan Ladon just, he looked the older guy versus the younger guy. Because, man, I can't stress enough, Cedric Doumbé just did whatever he wanted. He had the movement, he had the combination flow from different stances. He's just stayed with it consistently. Like, he does a lot of good things. He really does do a lot of good things. And then, of course, he gets on the mic and he's Cedric Doumbé. After the fight's over with, he's like, I want to thank Glory for giving me such an easy fight. And this was in a pro Johan Ladon crowd. Like, I can't stress enough, super pro crowd, because they have a long history of Johan Ladon fighting, you know, in the area. And, you know, of course, we all know about Nasa K Gym. And they came out, and I was there. I went and watched the fight event in Ladon, in Lyon, when Ladon won the It's Showtime title. So he had such a following. So when Cedric Doumbé came out there and, you know, said his words, it wasn't well received. But Cedric Doumbé can fight. Very, very talented. He will be fighting for the title again one day. Johan Ladon, prize fighter. You know, he's still looking for big opportunities. He's had big-time days in the sport. He's had big-time ups, big-time downs. Still a good fighter, even though he's not the fighter of his youth. He's still pretty solid. Moving down the card, Dylan Salvador defeats Massaro Glunder, 28-26 on all five cards. It was a fight that kind of, I mean, it was okay, because I thought Glunder came out in round one and did a okay job of letting his offense go a little bit more. Sometimes he can be a little hesitant. Sometimes he could wait for the big shot too much. So I thought he started good. And then Dylan Salvador, he definitely got into his offense. And then we had, I can't remember the exact moment, but there was a point taken. And oh, gosh, it's been a week. So now I feel like I'm failing you guys. Because I remember when it happened, I wasn't the biggest fan of it, but that was one of the biggest, you know, deciders on the card, was the point deduction. Nevertheless, Cesaro Glunder, still a good fighter, have gloves, will fight, will travel. I mean, he's just, whoever you bring him, he's going to compete with them. He's going to bring it. He's very, very, very good. So Glunder will, go out and still be a good fighter. Dylan Salvador's got all the tools to be champion in this division. He really does. He's got the movement. He's got the kickboxing flow. I did think that Glender had some moments, and I do think that that point taken was the big difference in this card. And Glender came out, and, you know, I think he's always going to be tough for everybody, but that's just kind of how the game is. Didn't get his hands raised. Dylan Salvador gets the victory. Adaramani Kalabali defeats Florent Keiochi. Kalabali, of course, is a guy who I'm glad that he got this opportunity. It was a split decision, you know, and some of the rounds were closer, so I'm not going too crazy about the split decision. But Kalabali is needed. We need more guys at 93 kgs around there. We need that light heavyweight division to continue to flourish. He's been in the game for a while. As I mentioned in the last podcast, he, you know, once upon a time, I believe he fought Carnage Corbett. I can't remember where. He's just a steady veteran fighter, and it was good for him to get this opportunity, and good for him to get this win. Now he needs to build on it. A Daniel Yunga type would be good for him. Mancha, the guy who just fought in the tournament, even though he came off that stoppage, I think that the American, that's a good fight for him. So anything that just keeps him active. Don't necessarily need him to move forward yet. I just need to see him active. So good stuff there. Nissa Mexican beats Fonda Alcaez. TKO by her foot was injured. She came out for the third. She was losing. Nissa Mexican, of course, very, very skilled kickboxer. Very, very skilled. So she was up. She was winning the fight at the time. Despite this, despite the fact that she was up and despite the fact that she was winning, I thought that Fonda was hindered by one of her kicks was blocked. I think it caught an elbow and she had the broken foot. But man, she was game and she went out there to fight. And it was really good because they said that the reason why she didn't fight Tiffany Von Soest in Chicago was just things were going on in her life. And, you know, the way it was described to me was she might have mentally had some things go on that kept her from competing for the title. In this one, it seemed like those mental things were pushed aside and she was all fighter. Everything about her was doing her best to win on that day. And when the foot was hurt and she was down in the cards, she still came out and fought to the best of her ability. So shout out to Fonda. She really brought it. But, you know, Nissa Mexican, who I've said before, is resume-wise the best-ranked female fighter in the world. She moves on. She will fight Tiffany Von Soest in New York. That should be a really, really great fight. I'm excited to see that one. Yanis Algan defeats Maxim Vorovsky. Entertaining fight. I thought Algan, I've mentioned him before because, as I said, he's they call him Boom Boom, guy who kind of pop, you know, fights with a little bit of a pop. But here I thought his combo flow was good. I thought he was doing a good job kickboxing. I thought he did, you know, some good combo flow. Maxim Vorovsky had some moments too, so the split didn't bother me too much. But I was definitely surprised with Yasin. I thought that he amazed me with his ability to score and combination flow in that way. Not that he just not like super didn't expect it ever, but it just, I look back and I just go, man, I was expecting a different type of performer, and he really did bring more kickboxing acumen than I was expecting. So good stuff there. Anybody's good for him, just staying active. The other fight in the card, and the one I was most excited about stylistically because you know who they are, Alim Nabayev defeats Jimmy Vinoy. I've called him Vinoy a couple of times. I mean, Vinoy. He defeats him by split decision. I believe there's 29-28 on three cards, 30-27, and the dissenting one was 28-29. Alim Nabayev is that deal. I've talked about him so many times. He's so skilled. Both stances. He's just a really, really good kickboxer. Just really, really good. Here, I thought that Jimmy had a great first round. Also a very skilled guy who's got a Muay Thai background. I thought that he scored. I thought that the Nabayev waited a little bit too much, and Jimmy was able to land the bigger shots. Then round two, Nabayev has started to land the big shots, the sexy shots, where Jimmy was kind of doing the workmanlike work. And then all of a sudden, a big score happened right at the end of the big right hand scored at the end of the first round. At the end of the second round, and that secured that round for sure. And then early in the third round, Jimmy Vinoy, I mean, he's got a super chin because the knee that Nabayev caught him with would have dropped most people, like would have just put them all out. And it came up, scored clean. Vinoy was in trouble, but didn't go down. Was in trouble, didn't go down. Good showing. Good showing by both guys. Jimmy's going to be a good fighter. He's a talented guy. He's going to be a good fighter. Alim Nabiyev is already scheduled to go against Nicky Holtzkin in a great fight. That is, that kind of matchmaking is in the old school development of how you move new fighters. And that's, I've mentioned the example on the show before. Stefan Leckel, still to this day, the guy who explained this to me the best. He said in an interview, after he beat Badr Hari, he said, I understand why Badr Hari was talking trash, and I understand why he was, you know, kind of selling himself and so on, but it was important that he, you know, have a fight like me, that he go against a world champion at his age, he said, because Badr Hari was 19 at the time, maybe just turned 20. And when he said, when I was 20 years old, I went against Ernesto Hoost. There is this rite of passage when you are this young up-and-coming star in kickboxing, and then when you get to a certain age, you go against a guy who's been in this game, has been winning for a long time. Sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it doesn't. But it's important that you have the bout. When I saw that that Nicky Holtzkin was healed up and that this fight was back on, because this fight was supposed to happen in Holland in September, when I saw that it's back on for the December pay-per-view card, I was really, really excited, because we really are talking about some super, super talented athletes. I mean, these guys, they are, I won't use the term the best of the best, but I will use the term some very high-level, highly skilled combatants of both of them. Nicky Holtzkin, with his long history of combo flow, his long history of the body shots, his long history of being the glory champion, which he held for, you know, a few years. And then you get this young up-and-coming Alim Nabiyev, who's got all the swag in the world. He's got that appeal. He's got that it factor. He's going to come out. It really is a great fight. So I'm really, really excited about what's happening as far as glory moving forward. Really, really good stuff. I'm going to go ahead. You know, I was torn, because there were a lot of fun things to happen in the fight world as far as cards go. It's like, man, which one do I want to talk about first? But because it's so fresh in my mind, I think I'm going to have fun and talk about the big-time Sitichai head kick KO over Yi Long. Now, here's why this is a story. I mean, it's really just a story for one reason and one reason only. When Sitichai wins this small tournament and he is announced as this guy's going to be the representative of Glory Kickboxing, Glory Kickboxing representative, of course, but he's going to represent one of the better fighters in the world going against Yi Long. Now, of course, for the last year, people have been upset with Yi Long. Why? Because in his rematch with Bukau, which people feel Bukau clearly and easily won, he got a decision. He got a victory decision. Then he started to get other people go down there and take fights. Marco Piquet. A lot of people thought Marco Piquet won, and then the decision didn't go that way. It went towards Yi Long. Yi Long, of course, is making super money. Like, if you look at UFC fighters, I think he probably makes more money than all of them except for, like, three people. Like, he is a superstar. The Shaolin Monk image, his toughness, that video is viral where he's just being a general tough guy. You know, he is really, really, really skilled. Like, really skilled. And, really, really popular, not really skilled, really popular, really, really tough, but really, really popular. I'm not going to say he's all the way without skill, but he's not known for his skill. My fault. Started to drift there. He is now going to go, he gets his tournament. Sitichai wins the tournament. So it's looking like it's going to be Sitichai versus Yi Long. As soon as that happened, my first thought was, there's no way this is happening. You know, this fight ain't happening. That's not possible. And yet here we are. Yi Long goes out there. First of all, he's wearing shorts, so people are like, wait a minute, where's the Shaolin Monk thing? Maybe that's to save face. Maybe he can turn around and say, oh, well, you know, you didn't beat the real me. You know, you just beat this guy trying to be a Muay Thai fighter. Maybe they do the rematch when he's got his full gear. He's got his full gear on, ready to go. You know, they do the rematch where he's, you know, got his pants. Here, clearly, he came out with shorts, came out trying to kickbox. The story of this fight seems to be what Sitichai's corner had said to him. Because going into this fight, knowing the history of, I mean, there are fights that people feel were dives were taken for Yi Long, and I'll be one of those people. Of course, the bad decisions. It was told to him clear, you got to go out there and murk this guy. You can't go out there and be in a good contest where you win. So let's look at an example. Superbomb fought Muhammad Kamal recently. The perfect example. In that fight, in that, you know, matchup, it was made to me really, really clear that Superbomb won, but he left moments of the fight close. So I was like, man, hopefully they don't go against him. And I look at that, and I look at that, and I look at where we are, and I look at those this type of matchup. And I was like, man, if Sitichai goes out there and fights that way, they could steal it from him. He didn't go out there and fight that way at all. He threw a bunch of head kicks, a bunch of left hands. He came out and sent the message early. Head kick scores, gets Yilong, scores it down, gets him in trouble. We're 10-8 after one. And then, after continuing the onslaught, he's throwing a head kick while Yilong is throwing a punch. Bang. KO. That's your night. Big time. Big time performance by Sitichai, proving why he's one of the best fighters in the world. Him, Superbon, kind of sitting there at the top right now as far as 154 pounds or 70 kgs. Awesome stuff. What's next for Sitichai? It's looking like he's going to defend his title in America. Next year, that's what, you know, Glory is what would like to do. He's just a tough fight. Anything that he does is really, really good. So I'm excited to see where this goes down the road. There were other fights in the card. TKO's Jinzhou. Adrian Maxim defeats Jin Ying. Song Shaqui defeats Brown Pinnis. And then this is the one of note. Miao Ning defeats Mario Lobo. Mario Lobo, I've seen fight before, but Miao Ning is someone who, be on the watch. I got to see more, but someone told me to be on the watch for that individual. So definitely good stuff. Man, it's fun to see stuff like that for me personally. And everybody's different, but as a combat sports fan, I love when you get some new, young, up-and-coming, you know, fighter, and, you know, you'll hear about him, and then it's rumor, and then all of a sudden you're watching it, and the rumor becomes real before your eyes. So, definitely good stuff, and, I mean, I'm excited to see what happens moving forward. So now we move on to Japan, and had a very solid Crush event, Crush 82. Got to see some of the fights, not all the fights, but there's definitely some, you know, results of note. Rikuya gets a victory over Kyoshiro. Let me tell you something. Rikuya is going to be one of the future stars of kickboxing for Japan. Now, he's got some defensive liabilities. He's definitely hittable. But as far as putting on a show, this guy's absolutely amazing. He comes out, he lands a double kick. When I mean a double kick means he throws one kick and he hops in the air and throws another kick. You hear that, you don't think that actually drops somebody. Even in point karate, you don't think that you see that all the time. Well, this guy does it. He comes out, scores a double kick, gets it down right away. After, you know, double kick, or I've heard people call it scissors kick, it gets off two scores. So he goes, gets that down. They go back. The fight restarts. Yeah, Kyoshiro, a little, you know, upset and embarrassed, but he tries to bring the fight. Moves forward. Rikuya then throws a knee. When the knee comes off, he throws another switch kick with the left leg behind it. Kyoshiro goes down again. After he goes down, I mean, Rikuya is having all kinds of fun. So he's out there, he's styling on him. He's moving, he's switching stances. He plays with some combo to low kick flow, showing that he's got that in the repertoire. He's got the kickboxing. He shows just some clean, you know, skill with his hands. And then he does another scissors double kick, double switch. This one I thought was more of a slip, but they called it a down. So it's three downs. I thought they were going to call the fight after that. They did not. They allowed it to go to the cards. Clear every round to Rikuya, who wins 30-24 on all cards. Just someone to watch out for. Rukiya. Definitely Google this man, YouTube this man, follow him. He's very, very talented. I'm excited to see more from him moving down the road. Another fight on the card I want to talk about is Gunapar Wersarek. Of course, Gunapar is the Thai representative. I'm not sure if he's based out in Japan full-time now. Maybe he is. The Wersarek is the gym that's owned by Fairtex, that's out in Japan. So Gunapar is at that gym, or he represents that gym. But man, the dude can fight. Like, the dude is talented. He brings it. Win, lose, or draw, he exchanges. He is a more pleasant style of Muay Thai fighter. Like, some people hate when, as far as the international scene goes. So sometimes the international fight cards would not bring in Muay Thai as much. You know, like, they wouldn't bring in straight Muay Thai guys, because some of them play the game, get up on the cards, and then just kind of move around. Like Sayak, I always bring up Sayak as my example. I thought Sayak was a very basic Muay Thai fighter who just did everything right, but he never, like, excelled. He never, you know, brought about, you didn't watch one of his fights and say, I want to watch this guy again. Like, Bacow brought that energy. Yotsenkleck brought that. Like, guys who bring more to the table. You know, Sanjak brings that. So Gunapar is in a line of guys who just bring a little bit more offense, kind of like Anoa. You know, he's going to sit down, throw the power punches. He's a fun guy to watch. In this one, he plays in an exchange with Kenta Hayashi. He plays a great job where he's throwing a combo. Kenta is looking to exchange, and he moves his back leg. Southpaw stance, Gunapar moves his back leg to clear himself, and he rips the right hook as he does it, and it lands clean, and Kenta is gone. Very, very nice KO, nice setup. Gunapar's legit. I mean, moving forward, whoever they want to use him for in K1, they can use him. They want to bring him in for a crush card to be at the top of the card, they can do that. He's just a fun, entertaining fighter. Love watching him compete. Next fight on the card I'm going to talk about is Nobuchika Terada as he goes against Kenji Kubo. He beats him in the X round unanimous decision on 10-9 on all three of those. Terada's good. Just a talented guy who they use him in K1 just on their tournaments. And, you know, I thought that he'd do better in some of them. And he's gotten, you know, past the first round and stuff like that. And he puts on good fights. But, you know, he really, really is an entertaining fighter. Love watching him. Love watching his growth. He's just fun. He's a savvy kickboxer that's been doing it for a long time now. So now after watching him through these years, I feel like he is who he is. Now it's just about, can that skill set beat the best? So definitely really good stuff. Outside of this, Hiroki Suzuki won, Tsuji Kawarada won, Teishi Yamada won, just Hitoshi Sugimoto won. That was a left head kick in the second round. Definitely check that one out if you get a chance. That victory was over Ken Audie. Tetsuya Inayashi won. I think that's it. Soya Matsumoto won a decision over Hirotaka Asahisa. I feel like I'm just running them off now, but I want to make sure I get their mention because they did win. Teo Asahasa gets a victory over Tatsuya Oyawa. And then the last one is Akihiro Kaneko gets a victory over Tetsuke Dage. So that rounds out the rest of the card. Those, they usually do a good job of getting those up, so it shouldn't be long before you guys get the opportunity to see a lot of those fights. But I mean, really, really shout out to Gunapar for bringing that kind of, you know, KO action as a Thai fighter. He's always fun to watch. I'll go ahead and just do this results based because I didn't get to see the card, but there are some pretty interesting results on here. They had a tournament, of course, you know how Kunlun get down. Kunlun did a tournament. They had an event in Wuhan. And as I mentioned before, I won't go through the whole thing. Lin Quinbang gets a victory over Jose Gago. And then we had Jiao Joboy gets a victory over Dennis Purick. Dennis Purick, of course, is a regular. They use him out there all the time. Saxon Samai gets a victory over Yang Kugan. And then, sorry, lost my notes here. We also had Muhammad Deby get a victory over Law Chosen. And then Vidly Gurkov, who's, of course, been fighting out there and doing well for a while. You've heard his name on this podcast before. Gets a victory over Nala Mulali. Then we move forward with some of the names that I mentioned earlier. We got, Artach Hanchana gets a victory over Diego Calado. Wang Feng gets a victory over Lin Quingbang. That was the tournament I mentioned before. Sexton Samai beats Jay Duboy. Wang when Ben gets a victory over Hector Santiago. Hassan Karamai gets a victory over Gao Jiang. And then Zhu Yongbo gets a victory over Muhammad Dabi. That was the semifinal there. Oh, and then we have Vitaly Gurkov gets a victory over Ata Hanchana, and that was by TKO. So we move into the finals for these tournaments, and Saxon Samai wins the tournament of the 61.5 kgs, and that was over Wang Wenfeng. And then we get a super fight with Gao Wenji, gets a victory over Taraj Karimi. And then we have Yang Yu gets a victory over Denis Majanovic. And then we have Albert Krauss. Krauss is in the house. He gets a victory over Li Zhang Zheng. It's always cool to see Albert Krauss win, especially when not necessarily the highest level, but a really good level of opposition and a bigger platform because, you know, kickboxing is hot in China. So good for him. And then the last tournament, Vitaly Gurkov defeats Hassan Karami in the 75kg tournament there. So Kunlun put together a good tournament field. I apologize if that came off confusion. I probably should have did the weight classes as I did every single one of these. But really, I just wanted to bring up the card because it's consistent kickboxing, and they just they did a good job. They did do a good job with this card, and they do a good job of being consistent, and they use names that we know, and they emerge with new names. So good job to China. So that'll wrap my show up. Nice, simple one about results. The next one, I promise you guys, I've been saying I was going to do it, and I haven't done it yet. But I want to make sure that I sit down and I talk about some of the questions that come up in the kickboxing world. And I remember I was like, man, I've got this theme, and this theme's going to carry me through the next, you know, months, because I'm going to have an episode every week until we're through the through Christmas. So all the way through to the New Year's, I'm trying to have a podcast for you. So, man, I'm grateful for every listener. Grateful for every listener. Just today's scary situation. I live in Texas, and of course, you know, a lot of you guys know that I'm a very Christian guy, and I go to church regularly. And there's a situation here where someone went into a church and started shooting, and there's more than 20 people dead, and that's in Texas. And just my heart goes out to those situations because it's just a crazy, broken world, and you just don't know what tomorrow brings. So I am so blessed, and I feel so honored that you guys listen to my podcast and we enjoy kickboxing, and you guys can hear me talk about the sport that I love. You guys can hear me butcher names that I try to pronounce, and you guys can hear me talk about, you know, kickboxing fights and cards that you may not have known of or heard about. I just want to do my best to get the athletes out there because I really do love the sport. It's my heart. And the other day I got into a conversation, you know, I'm in the glory job now, and I got into a conversation with Richard Abraham, and just, it was just about dreaming big. And I always use the term dare to be great, and looking for those opportunities for an American to have success against Westerners. And as we're talking back, and Abraham's like, man, I love talking to you. This is my kind of stuff. This is what I want to do. It just made me fall in love with the sport, and made me so much more grateful for the position I got with Glory, because I love to hear that in athletes. Man, it's about growth. It's about the love of this game, and I'm so grateful to be a part of it. And today's scary shooting, just let me know that, you know, tomorrow's not promised to anyone, and in the Bible, the term is, the word is that you don't know the hour. Your life is a mist. So for me, in my mist, I'm so grateful that in my period of time on this earth that I fell in love with kickboxing, that I fell in love with Muay Thai, that I got to meet so many great and wonderful people in this sport all over the world, and that so many people listen to this podcast. I had a gentleman come and train with me recently, and it just warmed my heart, you know, that you know, he came from New York, and it definitely meant so much to me because, really, I mean, I know that I'm known for being a striking coach and an MMA coach in the sport, and I know that I'm grateful anytime my guys get their hands raised. I had a good weekend this past weekend. I had two guys win in two different states in mixed martial arts, and afterwards people will come up to me and they'll say, hey, you know, great job coaching, or your athlete's really good, or congrats on the win. And all of that just makes me feel so grateful of what I have in the sport. I watched a scary situation on Friday night in one of the fights where a guy had a bad weight cut, and then he overextended his efforts out there in the cage, and he went into cardiac arrest, and he started to have a seizure, and then they brought in they performed CPR on him, and then his body was lifeless when they brought him out, and they resuscitated him in the ambulance on the way to the hospital. And in that moment, you know, I'm just realizing just how frail it is. I mean, it's a scary game. And him, that wasn't the damage of the fight, wasn't the thing that really hurt him. The thing that really hurt him was the physical wear of, you know, what he had done to his body in the weight cut, plus what he was exerting in the fight, But the whole thing, as he sat down, he posted the next day, and literally, this is the heart of a fighter. He posted the next day, you know, I died last night. They brought me back in the ambulance and so on. And he goes, I was told that I was never going to get to fight again. So I at least want to compete in jiu-jitsu tournaments, and I still, you know, I'll focus on being a coach now. When you hear that kind of stuff, it just lets you know the bond and love that people have for being in this game. It really, really is. So, and I mean, that's, I'm talking about a different combat sport there, and MMA. And it lets me know just how rare it is with what's going on in the world, how great a fraternity that I get to be a part of, how great a society of people who love this game that I get to be a part of. So thank you, everyone, you know, everyone that listens to this podcast. I will try to keep them coming. And again, I'm just grateful for you guys. God bless and have a good one. And thank you so much for being listeners.